It's a great day for a podcast. Once again, here he is, John Oakley.
There's an interesting and a quirky story for fans of Yellowstone with Costner, by the by. You might have been taken aback by the awe-inspiring panoramic views and so on and so forth. What is interesting, though, is there's a little-known area of the park, which some consider the zone of death, where crimes could arguably go unprosecuted. And this is a revelation that has come to the Michigan State law professor, Brian Cault, who discovered this loophole. Brian Cault is an American legal scholar, as I say, at Michigan State University College of Law. And he's going to tell us all about this epiphany or revelation. Professor Cault, good to have you on the Oakley Show in Toronto. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
Well, let's just start, and you can walk us through this discovery or revelation. How'd you come by it?
Well, I was writing a different article about a provision of the Sixth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution that talks about where juries are supposed to be drawn from. And sort of as a footnote to that, I found this loophole, and the premise of my article was that no one pays attention to this part of the Sixth Amendment, and that's sort of why the loophole arose. No one really noticed because no one pays attention to that rule.
Hmm. So Yellowstone is primarily in Wyoming, but there are parts of it that just bleed into Idaho and Montana. Is that the nub of the thing here?
Yes, that's one crucial part of it. There are a couple of other moving pieces. The U.S. is divided into judicial districts, and most states are just one district. Some are two or three or four. I'm in the Western District of Michigan right now. None of these districts cross state lines at all, except the District of Wyoming. The District of Wyoming is all of Wyoming plus those parts of Idaho and Montana that are in the park. And the District of Idaho doesn't include the part of Idaho that's in the park. District of Montana doesn't include the part of Montana that's in the park. Then that little part of the Sixth Amendment I mentioned says the jury in a federal criminal trial has to be from the state and the district where the crime was committed. So if you're in the Idaho portion of the park, the jury has to be from the state of Idaho, but has to be from the District of Wyoming. So they would have to be from, and they have to be from both. It's not either or. So they would have to be from that little part of the park, but nobody lives there. So the Montana portion, there's some people that live there. The other issue is that the states don't have any jurisdiction in Yellowstone. Some federal areas, the states have jurisdiction too, but in some they don't. And so the state wouldn't be able to prosecute either.
So, all right, this is it's kind of like falling through the cracks, as it were. And if you're supposed to call a jury pool from the district in which somebody commits the crime and there's no people living there, you can't get a quorum together. And that defeats the whole purpose. How big an area, by the way, in Idaho is this part of Yellowstone?
It's about 50 square miles. It's cut off from the rest of the park. You can't get there from the main parts that people visit. So it's a sort of a remote corner. Not very many people visit it compared to the rest of the park, but there are plenty of people that do go there.
But again, theoretically, you could kill somebody there and not be prosecuted.
Well, I wouldn't recommend it. So there are a few caveats there. One is they would still try and prosecute you, and there was actually a poaching prosecution that arose out of the Montana portion, and the court just said, well, you know, I can't just let him go. And he would have appealed that, but they made a plea bargain with him that the U.S. attorney said, we won't make a deal with you unless you promise not to appeal on this issue. You can appeal everything else, but not this issue. So they got their prosecution, but they did it in a way that showed that they were sort of worried what the Court of Appeals would do. But he did go to prison, so there's that. There's also that if you committed any of the elements of the crime outside of the park, like you conspired with someone outside the park or you kidnapped someone and dragged them there, then they could prosecute you there. So it would have to be a crime that you committed entirely in that zone. And then there's also, you know, you could get sued, the civil liability, wrongful death suit, something like that.
Yeah, so it would be folly for anybody to think they can exploit this legal loophole, so to speak.
Well, I tell people if they're thinking of putting theory into practice, just remember that they're not the only ones that have heard about this. There might be other people in that part of the park, and they're probably bigger than you.
Right. Or, you know, who knows? Wildlife might actually, you know, you might meet an untimely end at the hand of a grizzly bear. Brian Cult is with us, an American legal scholar at Michigan State University's College of Law, and discovered this loophole where Wyoming's Yellowstone Park actually just bleeds into Idaho and Montana. And this is kind of like, I don't want to call it a demilitarized zone, but because of reasons for not being able to recruit a jury, which is, I guess, determined by the Constitution of the U.S. of A., you would be, I guess, not legally culpable, although there are other caveats that he has issued. Now, is this going to be addressed constitutionally with an amendment or closed otherwise, apart from what you're saying now is, you know, just people being deterred from even thinking about it?
Well, they don't have to amend the Constitution. Just a simple statute to redraw the district lines to follow the state lines would do. And I've tried to get them to do that, but you know, it's been, I wrote the article about this. I guess it's been 19 years, and they still haven't done anything because it's theoretical. There hasn't been an actual case. I hope that there's not an actual case, even if they get a conviction in that case. The idea that someone would have been inspired to do this by the possibility of getting away with it would be bad. So I'd like to prevent that. But you know, they have more immediate things to worry about. Not that they're taking care of those either. But it's been a low priority. There was some interest in fixing it after a novel came out, Free Fire by C.J. Box, that employed this as a plot device, and one of the biggest fans of C.J. Box was Senator Mike Enzi from Wyoming, and so he tried to get it done, but it didn't go anywhere.
My guess is, in many ways, it's almost like one of these parlor games you might play as a law professor just to find little arcane rulings of the law. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of ways to come at this. You could be a sociopath who's looking for ways to get away with murder, or you could be a neurotic like me who's worried about the sociopath. You know, I found this and wanted to fix it, and it was hard to fix it without calling attention to it, but yeah.
Well, no, we're glad you're not a sociopath. It gives be still my beating heart. We don't have a sociopath with us. Brian Cult, that's great to talk. I find these stories fascinating, you know, little esoteric types of quirks of the law. As you well know, American legal scholar at Michigan State University College of Law. Thanks so much for your time this afternoon.
Well, thanks for having me.
You got it. Stay well.
Listen to The John Oakley Show live each weekday afternoon from 3 until 6. If you live in the Toronto area, just turn that AM dial to 640 and listen anywhere on earth 24 hours a day by going to 640toronto.com. Follow on Twitter at @AM640Oakley. You've been listening to A Curious Cast. New podcasts and shows are debuting all the time. So check back often to see what's new in the Curious Cast library.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.